Good evening. We are bringing you a Dally Home special ahead of the awards night.
Huge night. We'll also be presenting the tackle and try of the year.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the big one, the grand final, Penrith, Melbourne. Bring it on.
Coming up on Inside the NRL, Cameron Smith rode off into the sunset, or did he? Could Nathan Cleary take home the highest individual honour and a premiership all in one week? Plus, the guys give their predictions ahead of the NRL's Night of Nights. Good evening. Great to have your company for this NRL Dally M special leading into the main event where we will crown the 2020 best and fairest. And gents, boy oh boy, they dressed up for this one, looking very schmick, Jamie and Michael back on the desk.
Some of us dressed up. Where's the bow tie, Sally?
Oh, mate.
Missed the memo.
Yeah, I missed the memo there. That's all right. I don't feel comfortable in a bow tie.
Well, then don't wear it.
Yeah, thanks.
What are you both wearing? Talk me through it.
Iconic, I think, just this morning. So.
That's not the brand. That's where you buy it, you Bellican.
Do you know what you're wearing?
A suit jacket.
That looks great. That looks great. You both look great, but I'm going to say you smell bad. So for that, I actually got you a Christmas gift. A bit early, I know. But
here we go. What's this?
Oh.
Yeah, BB Thirst.
The much talked about.
Cologne.
There you go.
What does it smell like?
I'm told if you spray it towards the camera, for our listeners and our viewers who have got smart devices, they should be able to smell it.
Oh, really?
Here we go.
High tech. Peter Valandis can do it all. Yes.
Fruity flavours.
How good is this? In 1 year, I've got VB Thirst and the Warnie as well.
Yeah, you've got both.
So I've been, well looked after. Thank you very much, Katie.
You're welcome.
Straight in the kit bag.
What did you think of it? Can you tell me a bit about the scent?
Yeah, well, it doesn't smell like VB.
Oh, it doesn't smell like VB. I think you should take that day one to the Dragons, Sal. I reckon they'll love that. A few of the boys, maybe Ben Hunt, give one to Ben Hunt.
He's already got one. He's an ambassador. I might have to give one to Hook. Maybe I'll just send one to Hook. Thanks for hiring me.
Nicely done. Don't use that one. That one's for you.
That's mine.
And for everybody watching, if you do want VB Thirst, you can pre-order one on the Chemist Warehouse website, or they are stacked on the shelves at Chemist Warehouse, so you can get in there. And I was joking when I said that you should be able to smell it through your smart devices. You both didn't catch on, I thought.
Yeah, that was a good one. I really enjoyed that.
Off to a great start. Let's talk about the Dally M's. And, of course, after 12 rounds, the tallies do go behind closed door. But leading before they did go secret was, of course, Harry Grant on 13 points and his master, Cameron Smith, behind on 12, and Clint Gustherson also on 12. Rounding out the top 10 was Tom Dvojevic on 9 before he did go down with that injury. Gents, Dally M prediction for you, though, with all that aside.
I think, look, Nathan Cleary is the clear favourite, but looking how close Cameron Smith was there to the top, like, he had a lot of good games. They won a lot of football games. He would have polled 2 points, 3 points in some of those games. So maybe the GOAT gets one. Maybe he gets another one.
I reckon someone who polled well, I don't think he'll win it, but Sean Johnson, like, every time Cronulla won, he probably would have received 3 points, and he was, 2 points off the lead?
But to win one, you've got to poll in those games where you don't win and you get a point. Like, there has to be some of that, and I reckon Cameron Smith might have got it. Nathan Cleary, I think, favourite, but don't be surprised if Cameron Smith wins it.
So did you actually pick somebody?
Well, I think Nathan Cleary will win it, but I'm just trying to have a little bit of conversation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Cody Walker skyrockets up that.
And Clint Gutherson as well. He had a very, very good month where he was able to string together four
or five
games.
Especially with Mitchell Moses out
and jump up. If he polled 12 points there, like, the thing we don't know about the Dally M is when it goes behind closed doors, some of those games where you think you didn't play well and you get 3 points, and some of the games where you think you play well, you might only get two or one. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that. What about the NRLW? Who do you think takes the cake for the Dally M there?
Well, this is an interesting one because I don't necessarily think that the best player has gotten it every year, because to me, Ali Brigginshaw should have won by now. She should have won one of those, and I know you're in agreement with that. I actually think it's time for a forward to win it again. Millie Boyle's been an enforcer. She's come leaps and bounds in her performances since the NRLW's been in its acceptance. So I think it might see an enforcer win it, and Millie Boyle, I'm going to say.
Okay, what about for you?
I think, Sal, we'll probably get what you thought. I think Ali Brigginshaw will probably win it. The Broncos 3 in a row now, grand finals. I think she deserves to win it. I think she'll go very close tonight.
And what she's been able to do this year is go into that middle third and a point of difference. And it's so hard to, after you win a championship, to go back-to-back. And they've done that. So to reinvent the wheel again and have her in the middle, it's almost shown her versatility and how dangerous she is with the ball. So I think if Millie doesn't win it, I think Ali should win it.
Well, who's been the best player over the 3 years?
Well, she's been the most consistent by far. When you think about, I've spoken many times, when you think about a female player that has the thinking and the game management of an NRL player, that's Ali Brigginshaw.
Yeah.
She sees the game 5-6 plays ahead of where everyone else sees it in that competition. So I love watching her play. Got to see it firsthand last year in that grand final. And she dismantled the Dragons with her game management.
Mm. Good to see. We'll wait and see what happens with that one. But just before we move on to the preliminary finals, I do want to ask you about the Dally M changing. We did used to see just one position, but now we're going to see all 13. Do you like that?
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. It's, because one winger, there's so many good wingers around. There's so many good back rowers around. I love the fact that you're going to get to reward those people.
Yeah, I do. I still like to know who was actually crowned the number one winger or the number one back rower. I still think there is some sort of, accolades for the players there if you were actually voted the number one winger. Sure, we need the team. We need two players in those positions. But I think there's something to be said about someone who finishes top in each position.
Okay, well, we'll get to the exclusive awards very soon and talk more about the Dally M's. But quickly, we want to talk about, of course, the preliminary finals wash-up. And let's start from Friday night, the Storm and the Raiders, 30-10. Scenes of Cameron Smith being carried off by his team. And then, of course, the suggestions that he would retire after this year just blew up. But the club and Cameron Smith both are suggesting, no, that's not the case. He hasn't made a decision yet. What was your take on that match? Did they just completely blow Canberra Raiders off the park, Michael?
Yeah, they did. And look, even these scenes around Cameron, they'd be interesting to see what happens in the coming days. I remember last year, maybe the year before, there's always something around Cameron Smith at this time of year. And I asked him in a press conference after a preliminary final if it'd be great to go out with Billy on top if you win a grand final. And he answered it in a way that sort of suggested that he might be thinking about retiring. I think Cameron Smith enjoys keeping everyone guessing. Melbourne wanted an answer 6 weeks ago. He's still keeping everyone guessing. And wouldn't be a surprise if there was a part of me if he said, regardless of what happens tonight, well, if they won, that he was going to do something to keep everyone guessing, because we all see that and think, OK, this is the end. But who knows? Cameron Smith plays mind games.
I think he told his team a month ago. And that reaction, that to make another grand final is a huge achievement. But the focus is completely off the Melbourne Storm now. It's around Cameron Smith and the decision. Will he play? Won't he play? I thought it was a fantastic performance by the Melbourne Storm, and he led from the front again. He was outstanding. The Raiders just come to the end of their run off the back of the emotion bucket was empty for me. Like, the week before was their grand final. They had so much to play for. I mean, the way that the Melbourne Storm started, I mean, this play right here doesn't happen, but when it's your night, that all that stuff happens. So I just thought the Raiders had played their grand final the week before. Jerome Hughes was fantastic with his game management and kicking game, and he's become, Katie and Michael, one of my favourite players to watch. You talk about competitiveness, you talk about, this was a guy that was fullback a couple of years ago and now is in the top five or six halves in the world.
Mm.
Like, this is an amazing transformation. I know that Cameron Smith and Cameron Munster have had a lot to do with that, but the way he plays the game and the way he's so influential for that team has been remarkable to watch.
So much good footy on show.
And he wears a headgear too. I like that too.
Yeah, of course you do. All right, to the Panthers and the South Sydney Rabbitohs. That one was a much closer match. 17 straight for Penrith. Were you convinced by their win though, Jamie? You've mentioned a bit that they haven't started as confident in recent games.
No, they've conceded the first try in the last two finals games. I thought that the other night they won without being clinical. And, probably my only criticism of the Penrith Panthers this year is they've had chances to really put the foot down and end the game, and I thought they had that one there before half-time. They decided to take the two, but they missed opportunities the other night. Now, you can see that as we created opportunities and we just didn't take them, but this week the Melbourne Storm aren't going to give you that. Isaiah Yeo was absolutely fantastic. That man right there, Dylan Edwards, I was a little bit iffy about whether he was going to be the right choice in his style of game. He's been fantastic this whole year. So I think Penrith were good without being great and what they've been to. Whether that's nerves or not, we'll have to wait and see on Sunday.
So Penrith's got Ivan Cleary's got a huge decision to make this week. He moved Brent Naden. He put Tyrone May into the centres and left Naden on the bench. Spencer Lanue comes back into that team. The makeup of the side, how do you play Melbourne? Do you play four bigs on the bench? How does Ivan Cleary look at this weekend? to make sure that his bench is right to win a grand final.
Well, I think last week we saw the team. Spencer Lanu will come back into the side, I would think, and he'll have Tyrone May start at centre, and unfortunately for Brenton Aidan, there was a sign there. I don't know if he's his confidence. He loves defensive centres. He's loved Dean Vare for so long now and how good he is defensively. I think he was a little bit nervous with that, so he started Tyrone May. You'll have to go with four forwards because that Melbourne pack is so big.
Yeah.
Fasu Malawi, Nelson Asava-Solomona, now Finucane's back. Then you've got Brandon Smith, who plays above his weight. They'll probably carry Nicho Hynes, I think, but they've got a really big pack. You're going to have to meet them head on.
Jamie, I've got one for you. Leading into the grand final, this is a year like no other. We've said it 1,000 times. But what would be your advice to a very youthful and inexperienced in terms of grand finals Penrith lineup?
Well, I think this is a perfect year for a young team to win it because you don't have the whole hoopla and fuss of, right, we've got to go to training sessions with open fans and we've got to sign autographs, we've got to do appearances here, we've got to do grand final breakfast. Because of COVID, there's nothing of that can happen. So probably the way the Panthers will look at it is we need to keep these guys as simple and as in routine as we have all year so that they're ready to go on Sunday. Because one thing you know about the Melbourne Storm is they have been here before. They know how to taper their run right into Sunday night at 7:30. I think this is a perfect year for Penrith because I didn't enjoy grand final week. I thought it was way too many appearances. Like, we had the Opera House, we had a training session at Cogra, a training session at Illawarra, then breakfast. You had the grand final breakfast. Like, it is just a rushed week. Then all of a sudden, you got to train and then you get to grand final day. It's like, oh, we're finally here. So I think it's the perfect week for Penrith and their young guys to stay in routine and get ready for Sunday.
At the end of the show, I'll get both of your grand final predictions. But Michael, just lastly on that match with the South Sydney Rabbitohs, you're at the game. Was there a turning point, do you think, that you saw from the crowd in terms of potentially that last 5 or 10 minutes?
A little bit, and even more so, I guess, this week. Look, I think South Sydney probably felt the fatigue factor towards the end of the game, given the fact that they had played all the way through. But this weekend, no one from Melbourne is allowed into Sydney, and there won't be anyone from Queensland coming into Sydney. So Penrith should have the home ground advantage, almost 80-90% to what Melbourne will have. So they will use that to their advantage. It was almost 50-50 on the weekend, but don't underestimate the fact that, you know, you played in a grand final that was heavily Dragons over Roosters in terms of supporter base. Penrith are going to have the majority. It'll be a Penrith home game without a doubt.
That'll help the Panthers kids. Like, if they're any nerves, you'll help with the crowds on your side. Just quickly, I thought South, you know, they got to that game the other day and they were fantastic in some areas, but they were just a little bit short. When you think about, you know, the questions will come out about Cody Walker and Damien Cook and all that kind of stuff, but they got to a position to still be able to win that game. And the last three prelims, I think Damien Cook's probably not had his best game because towards the end of the year, you start to get worked out a little bit. Defences actually tighten up because you are playing the minor premiers who have done extensive video. I just saw 5-10 minutes in that whole total game the other night where they beat themselves, South, and that form at the start of the year crept back in, like just making errors, you know, not coming off their line, completing sets, and then all of a sudden Penrith are such a good side that they can keep that pressure on. They started fast, South Sydney, and then they went without the ball for 15 minutes. So I think South Sydney had a fantastic year. I disagree with all the talk about their premiership window being shut. I think they make Latrell Mitchell come back next year, obviously. Campbell Graham comes back in. Jai Arrow.
Braden Burns.
The South Sydney premiership window is probably more open now than what it was at the start of 2020.
Just lastly, what do you make of the Adam Reynolds 40-20? Gosh.
Oh, I was watching it live. He's like,
I just from smiles and
when that happens, I fell off my chair because I thought South Sydney are going to win this game.
And well, they would have. I reckon South Sydney go on to win that game if that was 3 centimetres backwards. Like, mate, that's a huge play. It was a huge play. And unfortunately for Adam Reynolds, the paint denies them.
Like, I know there's always a talk about, you know, you guys didn't play. Do you know how hard it is to kick a 40-20, let alone with the game on the line, down a short side, step back? But not only that, that first kick he had for Alex Johnson, like, this is a guy who is a great kicker. And to sit back and watch him the other night, I know you were there, but that's a tough kick, and he almost got it.
He did. It was with the game on the line, that's what you expect from your halfback, and he almost delivered. I genuinely believe Penrith were on the ropes there. That goes a 40-20 their way, South Sydney, and
you need
it's game over for Penrith.
You need luck.
Momentum changes, the crowd changes.
But it wasn't. Was it?
And now they've three straight years in a preliminary final exit.
Mm. Yeah, that's the case, isn't it? OK, well, we're going to be talking to Jack Whiten very shortly. He is at the Dally M Awards that is being held at Artarmon. Now, for all of our viewers who do want to listen in and tune in and see who the winners are tonight, you can do so. Stay tuned to NRL.com for all of the live updates, or you can switch to Fox League from 6:30. They're doing a special there, and KO Sports. Plenty of awards to be given out, though. We did talk about the team. We did speak about the players for the NRL and NRLW, but what about for the Dally M Coach of the Year?
This is a tough one because every year I sort of disagree that I think the most consistent coach this year was Trent Robinson.
It's a tough one.
Hold on, hear me out. Trent Robinson and Craig Bellamy have continued to get the best out of their squad. Now, I know we love Ivan Cleary will probably get it, but if you're talking about ways to reinvent the wheel and continue to get, like the Roosters were looking for a three-peat, they're a couple of bounces of the ball away being into another grand final or a prelim and a grand final. Melbourne, four grand finals in 5 years. Like, the best coach or the coach of the year isn't necessarily the guy that finishes first or the person that brought their team up from last. For me, it's the people that consistently get their results out of their players to put themselves in a position to win a championship.
And what about for you, Michael?
It's a no-brainer. It's Ivan Cleary. I get what you're saying, that Ivan Cleary is not the best coach
in the NRL. But there's not enough reward, though.
Yeah, I understand, but what are you going to give a trophy over 5 years?
Like, okay, so this is my point. In 2010, Brian Smith won the Coach of the Year. Mm-hmm. Roosters went from last to sixth. Wayne Bennett won two minor premierships back-to-back, didn't get a look in.
He got it the year before. That's the problem. When you do something the year after that you're expected to do, it goes against you. And no one expected Penrith to do what they did this year, not even the players in that team.
All righty, well, we'll agree to disagree, but thankfully we will start the NRL Awards for the Dally M Night of Nights, and we start with the Tackle of the Year, brought to you by Huey.
The captain, Jamal Fogarty, back for the quick tap and go. Seven tackles up their sleeve. Fogarty, he might go the length. Chased by Big Papali, who comes up with an even bigger play. An ankle tap on the runaway half. How did Josh Papali do that?
The big freight trainers run him down.
Yeah, the Tackle of the Year brought to you by Huey. Of course, Josh Papali, the ankle tap, takes the Tackle of the Year. The forward on the halfback, it was sensational stuff, wasn't it?
Jamal Fogarty won't ever live that down.
The poor thing, after he had such a great season as well. But we are joined by Jack Whiten now, who is at the Dally M's, and Josh Papali can't be there to accept the award, but his teammate is. Jack, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey guys, how are you?
Yeah, well, thanks. I don't know if you caught the ankle tap, but your mate Josh Papali takes out the Tackle of the Year thanks to Huey.
Yeah, it's unreal. Had my hands on the knees when Big Papa took off and got that ankle tap, so I was thanking him big time.
Josh, what was said after the game about that effort? Because obviously, yeah, he's not renowned for his pace, but to track down a halfback, what was made of it amongst the boys and with Ricky?
He's been huge this year for us, mate, and you know, it's efforts like that that's got as far as we did. Didn't get all the way, but yeah, he's been massive for us.
Jack, Ricky Stewart often talks about being the person that everyone wants to play with. What does Josh Papali mean to your side?
Yeah, he's unreal, mate. Over the last couple of years, it's just become one of our biggest leaders, and you know, you can really see that in the way he's playing footy. So well, yeah, he leads up front all the time.
And Jack, you're over there at Artarmon ready for, I guess, a virtual Dally M night. You seem a bit nervous. Are you all right?
Nah, I'm good. This is weird doing this.
It is weird, isn't it? I feel like we should be talking in person. How are you going after the loss? Are you guys going all right?
No, all good. I think we just got to look at it as a bit of a positive, you know. No one wants to lose in that, but for everything we went through this year, we've done a big job and we hung tough, so we've got to look at it like that, I guess.
Jack, how positive are you about going into State of Origin camp now? You would have get to see your family for a little bit, but you're looking forward to potentially making it three series wins in a row for New South Wales?
Yeah, I can't wait, mate. It's one of the biggest honours you can have, you know, so can't wait to get in there and see the boys and rub shoulders with them all.
Jack, how do you make the transition now, changing your mindset from playing in the halves to likely to go in the centres? Does much change for you?
I think just a little bit defensively, you know, but it's something we work on through the week and it should be all right to pick up.
And what about, I know it's probably a heartbreaking question to ask, Jack, but this weekend on Sunday, who do you have tipped to take out the premiership?
I honestly don't know. I don't know who to pick. I'd love to see Penrith get a win. You know, Melbourne's had enough wins, I think, so we'll see how it goes.
Make it 18 straight, why not, right? And before I do let you go, I've got to ask, tonight, night of nights, who is your Dally M tip?
I'm going to have to go with Nave Cleary. He's been huge all year, you know, and he's probably one of the main reasons Panthers are where they are, so that's my pick tonight.
Oh, I thought you were going to back yourself. Come on.
Nah.
Very humble, but for yourself, well done on your individual season. It was unfortunate for the Raiders. Enjoy tonight, and we'll see you back in 2021. We'll see you at Origin anyway.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, gents. Jack Whiten there, of course, receiving that award on behalf of Josh Papali. But now it is time for the try of the year, brought to you by Drinkwise.
Fakes, Carrigan, Dearden. Katoni Staggs, a little bit of room to move for the first time tonight. Puts on a fend. Still going, Katoni Staggs. He's got support. Won't need support. Katoni Staggs, you superstar. What a try.
That's brilliant from Katoni Staggs. That's an 80-metre job.
Congratulations, Katoni Staggs. Thanks to Drinkwise, you have scored the try of the year, and he joins us from Brisbane now. Katoni, take us back through that try. How good did it feel?
It did feel pretty good after I was over the try line, but it just went so quick. I just can remember we set in shape up, and I knew I was getting the ball, and I know I just always try to go on the outside or by opposite centre, and yeah, I went on the outside and I seen the winger turn his back, so I knew it was one-on-one, so I just put my fend up, and that came off, and I was underneath, I was under in the try line.
Katoni, as a fellow centre, did you feel bad for you and Aiken there, because you embarrassed him quite a bit there?
I wasn't really thinking too much about that, but at the end of the game, he come up to me and he told me, well, why'd you have to do that to me? And I just said, sorry, brother.
I saw that try and it reminded me of GI down at Olympic Park. Brought back some bad memories. Katoni, amazing year for you in the games that you did have. What did you learn about yourself and how you need to attack going into next year?
Yeah, you know, I learned a lot throughout the year, myself and my game. You know, I still got a lot to learn. I'm only young, and I've only been in the NRL for 2 years now, and you know, I'm still learning. But I learn a lot, as in myself, and you know, just the players around me as well, just connecting with them. And I think the big improvement was on my game was my defence. And throughout the year, I was just focused on my defence and trying to make that better. And because I knew I'm in attack, you know, I wouldn't be picked if if I didn't have the skills, but I knew soon my defence had to be on, and that's what I was focused on.
When you said you had to connect with your players, that's learning as a centre when to want the ball and when to actually get it. How'd you go with so many different combinations this year? We saw the moments of brilliance, but how'd you go getting that combination with the change in the halves?
Yeah, you know, we had a couple of changes. I had different halves. You know, every week sometimes, and it was a bit of a challenge, but you know, just in training that week before we had a game on the weekend, you know, just trying to build a combination between the half, my winger, you know, my back row as well. So you know, that's why we trained for the week, and you know, we was able to do that, so it wasn't too hard.
Katoni, you were probably a shining light in that suffering Broncos lineup, but for you personally, you just mentioned a lot of growth. How are you going after getting knee surgery?
Yeah, no, it's a challenge for me at the moment. I've never been through anything like this. This is my first operation. So, you know, I've got a lot of family and support around me that get me through this tough time. But it's just mental as well. You know, trying not to think about it too much. I know footy's going to be there and I'm going to be back. So it's all about my rehab. And, you know, I've got a lot of good coaches at the club that are going to get me back to where I finish. So, you know, it's just the little things from now on until I get back.
Katoni, the injury couldn't have come at a worse time. By all reports, you were probably on the verge of State of Origin selection with the New South Wales Blues. Mate, is that hard to swallow, the fact that you were probably going to be there and missed out?
Yeah, as soon as I did my knee, you know, I knew it wasn't good. And in the back of my head, it was, you know, I was thinking about that Blues jersey. That's all I've wanted. And, you know, that's just one more thing I have to tick off. And I knew when I did my knee, it was not looking too good. But, you know, I got it in the back of my head for 21. And that's what I'm going to thrive through and try to, you know, get that goal. And, you know, I'm just going to try do my best.
Katoni, before we get a grand final tip off you, the Dally M, obviously, who do you think will win tonight? And then who do you think will win the grand final and why?
The Dally M, you know, there's a lot of good players being out there this year. You know, I can't, you know, go past Cleary. I think Nathan, you know, he's a young player. And with the team that he's got as well, he's a young team as well. And what they've done this year, and you know, they've just been outstanding. They've, you know, won 17 or something in a row now. So, you know, it's been pretty good. And he's been shining for them. So I reckon Nathan will take it out.
And grand final tip?
Oh, grand final tip. I'm going to go with the Storms. I don't know. I just, you know, they've been there so many times. And, you know, they know what a grand final is, how to play a grand final and what it takes to win it. And you know, it would be a good game. I think Panthers would go out there, but I think Panthers played too hard against the Rabbitohs, so they'd be a bit sore.
Okay, good insight there. Thanks so much, Katoni. We appreciate your time. Speedy recovery, and we will see you back bigger, better, and stronger than ever in 2021.
Thank you very much.
Katoni Staggs there, and of course he was the winner of the Try of the Year presented by Drinkwise, but it is now time for Casualty Ward, brought to you by Go Healthy Vitamins. The Penrith Panthers and the Melbourne Storm have both cleared their players of any serious injuries after the weekend, leading into this Sunday's 2020 NRL Telstra Premiership Grand Final. Now, this news comes in despite of Appy Coruscant leaving the field in the second half, clutching at his shoulder and neck. The club said there were no serious injuries to report. While for the Storm, Brandon Smith left the field twice during their win over Canberra, the first for an HIA and the second for an injured jaw, which was later cleared of any damage. In the NRLW, the Roosters are without Sevens rugby sensation Charlotte Kaslick, who was ruled out with back fractures, while coach Jamie Feeney will give Bo Silvete Welsh until captain's run to prove her fitness on a hamstring injury. That's this week's Casualty Ward, brought to you by Go Healthy Vitamins. All right, now time for Sweet or Sour, Jamie.
Yeah, it has to be sweet this week, Katie. And take me back to Friday night. This is a guy that's played over 500 games. He's the greatest player we've ever seen, in my opinion. And look, the game is done and dusted. Like, Cameron Smith just comes up with an amazing play here. The game is over. Melbourne Storm heading to another grand final. Kotrick puts the chip over. Here's the 500 gamer right here. Comes up with this tackle right at the death. Didn't need to be there. Mm. And just to sit back and watch him come up with those big plays, you can see why everyone in that Melbourne Storm jumper loves him and loves playing for him in the scenes at the end of the game. But that, for me, was one of the biggest, best plays of the year. Like, to do that at that stage of the game, when the game was done, I loved watching that.
When you look at that, you go, people are right when they say he's not an athlete, he's a footballer. Like, he just does everything right.
Well, he just turns up just in case. Yeah. And for all the people that bag him and don't like him and all the negative media around it, you can't bag that. He had no right to be there, and he turns up absolutely outstanding.
And strength is not his strong suit. Like, Nick Kotrick's not a small bloke. The ability to hold him up and the strength he showed surprised a lot of people.
And he plays in the middle too, so he probably made 30 or 40 tackles already. I thought it was outstanding. Mm.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our next award, which is the VB Hard Earned Player of the Year. And this one is a tie for first, gents, and it'll come as no surprise. Tohu Harris and Jake Trbojevic take that one out, both having outstanding seasons. Jake Trbojevic was actually second in support plays, 1 point behind Gutho, while Tohu Harris, they both didn't miss a game this season. It was great to see them both take that one out, wasn't it?
I thought Tohu Harris's best season for a while. I thought he got back to playing the way that he played at Melbourne, which made him so good and into a representative player. And with the year that the Warriors had, it was nice to see him stand up and be a leader within that group, and he got the rewards for that. Jake Trbojevic, we're all big fans of Jake Trbojevic, and we know how hard he works for that Manly side.
Yeah, he works hard. I think Jake will be disappointed with the season he had. He probably wasn't one of his best seasons. He probably missed his brother through the middle of the field there, but Jake will be back. He's got an Origin series now and he's an integral part of Freddie's team.
I think that's the big question for Des Hasler and the Manly side next year, Katie, is how they can work around
Jake Trbojevic, not just making him a battering ram. Like, he makes his 50 tackles, but as the game went on and the depth got tested throughout Manly this year, he just became a battering ram. Like, he was just absolutely tackled to a standstill. You know, we didn't see the finesse or the best parts of his game because he was just so tired.
Do you think they use him too much as a halfback, though, Sally?
I think they need to work out ways to get guys in and around him to help him tackle, to help him take some of that, you know, that rest in defence. Like, you know, he needs to have some plays where he's not the main playmaker, I understand that, but he's just, like, so tired by the time he gets the ball that he's ineffective with what he does. So I think they're going to have to work out ways to use Jake Trbojevic a little bit smarter so he's got a little bit more petrol in the tank.
Yeah, OK, we'll see what happens in 2021. But let's turn our attention to some NRLW awards. And, gents, just before we get to the Try and Tackle of the Year and Rebel Rookie of the Year, the Sydney Roosters, the Brisbane Broncos will meet each other on Sunday for the NRLW Telstra Premiership Grand Final. It is the third straight Grand Final the Broncos will play in, and they will try and go for a three-peat. How do they get beaten?
Well, you're going to have to complete high. You're going to have to make sure that you're kicking long and make them bring the ball off their own line. They've got a big forward pack, the Brisbane Broncos, and they've got the smarts in the half. And with Ali Brigginshaw and that girl on screen, Tamika Upton, in the form that they're in, it's certainly going to be hard, but they're not unbeatable. This Roosters side's been impressive under Jamie Feeney. They've shown a real style that can trouble the Broncos, but they're just going to have to be in long grinds. And, yeah, the cycles are going to have to go for 5-6 minutes. And in the women's game, that's a long time. If you can get them into a cycle, make them force an error, with Corbin McGregor and the likes for the Roosters, they can cause an upset.
Yeah, what do you think, Michael?
For me, I think that what's going to cause issues is the fact that they're predicting a little bit of rain on Sunday out Western Sydney. So that might change things a little bit. I know that the Broncos have got a lot of skill in their team, but it may play in the hands of the Roosters. So, yeah, I think the weather, if it is wet on Sunday, it could swing things back towards the Roosters.
Well, if it's wet, there's one rule: kick early, kick often. You know, if they can pin Tamika Upton back down there, make Meg Ward come off her own line and try and force some errors, they're going to have plenty of opportunities to be able to attack. A shame no Charlotte Caslick, but
yeah,
that would have been a huge... If they can get Bovetti Welsh,
yeah,
then I'm very confident the Roosters can cause an upset. Brisbane may just be too good, though.
Hard to lose your two first-choice fullbacks, but we'll see what Sydney Roosters can dish up that one on Sunday. But let's get to our NRLW Try of the Year to see who takes that out.
Still got a couple of plays left, though, the Warriors. Let's see if they can just take patience here. Here's in with a floating ball. Stowers in the clear. Great pass. What a try. Madison Bartlett gets it down.
Well, congratulations, Madison Bartlett, because that is a beautiful reward for one of the Fab Five who made the trek over from New Zealand and, I guess, sacrificed so much. And that offload from Shawnee Stowers, that was pretty neat, wasn't it?
That was awesome. that offload made the try. But that's the skill level we've got now in the NRLW. It's amazing to see the transformation. They only get four chances to play each year, but that skill level is outstanding.
I don't think the trophy belongs to her. That offload was sensational, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Sometimes the wingers get the rewards. And, yeah, someone has to pass it to you. So
exactly.
Much like me and you.
Yeah. It requires a team effort, and Madison put it down. And Madison couldn't be with us today, but she's making her way back to New Zealand. She did send in a message to her fans.
Thanks so much for the award. We wish that we could be there tonight, but as you can see, we're on the way home. To be honest, that award probably goes to the rest of the team. I just had to catch it and put it down. But thank you again so much. And we just want to say thank you so much to the NRL for everything that you've done for our team. Ka kite.
How nice is that? So grateful. They were just so grateful to be here and compete in the competition.
Massive sweet there in the sweet or sour. The whole chair to yourself.
The whole play, by the looks of it.
You can relax down. So, no, well done. But, yeah, bonus as well. Get the whole
pretty
row.
Pretty VIP, and they're very well deserved. All right, let's turn our attention to the NRL Tackle of the Year, and we'll see who takes that one out for 2020.
A bit of an issue for one of the Warriors players in back players. Georgia Hale and Hannah Southwell come together. Hannah wins that one. Sorry, Georgia.
And there you go. The NRLW Tackle of the Year goes to none other than Hannah Southwell, and she joins us on the line. Hannah, congratulations. It is no surprise to us that you took out that award, but how does it feel for you to win that individual accolade?
Oh, thanks very much. I really appreciate it. Yeah, no, it means the world. I wasn't expecting anything of it this year, and I just wanted to do my job for the team and yeah, make sure we got the wins. But no, I really appreciate it. It's really kind, yeah.
Hannah, you've made yourself into an enforcer for the Roosters. Where did this amazing defence come from?
It'd be from Dad, drilling my brother and I in the backyard. We did it over and over again, making sure we stuck every tackle. And, yeah, all credit goes to Dad and my little brother for being the punching bag.
Your poor brother. Well, it's certainly come to fruition and certainly worth it. You'll play in your first NRLW Grand Final this weekend. How do you feel in the lead-up, especially after having that week off to rest?
Yeah, it's fantastic having a week off to rest. Mum and I thoroughly enjoyed it. We were pretty sore after the Warriors game. They definitely gave it to us. But, no, we're really keen to just rip in this weekend and, yeah, see if we can get the win. But we're just really excited to be playing.
Hannah, how do you go about handling the back-to-back champions this week? How much of a challenge is that going to be?
Yeah, definitely. They come out with all guns blazing last weekend and they're a really tough team, so credit to them. And, yeah, we're just going to try and see if we can match them and, yeah, do the best we can.
Hannah, I've noticed that you wear headgear. Is it because I wore headgear or you've always worn it?
Not because of Jamie Soward. Sorry, Jamie. My mum and dad wouldn't let me play footy without it, so it's kind of just stuck ever, like, from there.
And before I let you go, because I know that you're off to training, who is your Dally M tip tonight for the NRLW Dally M of the Year?
I'd probably have to say Tamika Upton. She's killed it all year round, and yeah, I hope she yeah gets the award.
That's awesome, and congratulations! Have a great week, and good luck for the big game on Sunday.
Thanks very much. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that game on Sunday, not Saturday. You'll be a day early. But Jen's Hannah Southwell there, and it's no surprise, is it? Her tackling is sensational.
Oh, yeah, it's the headgear. I don't know what happened.
What happened to you?
That didn't help me tackle. No, look, she's been a revelation. She's a real enforcer for that side, and she's going to enjoy the battle in the middle. They've got some rep players, the Broncos. She's going to enjoy that battle on the weekend, Hannah.
Yeah, and it's nice to see her being recognised by fans and the larger rugby league community too. So I was talking to her affair saying, your coaches know and your players know what you do, but now everybody is starting to know what you do. She said the feedback's been really positive. So, all right, to our final NRLW award, and that is the Rookie of the Year, brought to you by Rebel. And that one goes to
Kennedy Cherrington, one of the performers from last week, made a debut and already suggestions around rep footy for Kennedy Cherrington.
We see, again, Kennedy Cherrington going in for more work. As Kennedy Cherrington does beautiful work up through the middle here.
And now the Roosters in open space. Cherrington brought down on the 20.
And that one, thanks to Rebel. I was a bit early there, jumped the gun, but she's been absolutely tremendous. What she adds off the bench, she started off the bench for the first two rounds, played last week at starting lock. Jamie, do you like what she delivers for the Roosters?
She's a real X factor. She's been able to come off the bench and change, you know, the momentum. And that's so important, especially in the big games, that you have someone come off. And if the game's sort of going the other way, you can see by some of the carries there, she gets in behind the ruck, she's physical, and that can provide a platform for Corbin McGregor. So she's had an outstanding rookie year. Looking forward to seeing how she grows next year.
21-year-old as well. So gun. Much more to go. Same as Hannah Southwell. Like, they're just so young, so much younger compared to a lot of the male players. But that one, all thanks to Rebel Sport. All right, gents, that wraps up our awards night, but I do have a couple of predictions for you. Grand final winners and the Clive Churchill medalist.
I'm going to go Penrith. I think Penrith will win. I think they'll cap off a good year. I think Jerome Luai will pip Nathan Cleary for the Clive Churchill medal.
I think Melbourne and Jerome Hughes will get the rewards. He was outstanding last week. I think that if Penrith take their eye off him and concentrate on the other three, that Jerome Hughes could have a night.
I'm going to say Melbourne Storm and Ryan Pappenhausen.
Good call. Good call. But you'll both be wrong. So.
Okay. No worries. Thank you so much for tuning in to our exclusive pre-Dally M show. Tomorrow at 3:55, Zach Bailey will host the last team list, the big one, the grand final match between the Penrith Panthers and the Melbourne Storm. Robbie Farah and Brett Camolli will be there by his side. It'll be interesting to see what changes coaches make or whether they'll stick to the same 17. By all reports, they don't have many injuries coming out of either camp, so will they keep it the same or will they be forced to make final changes? Gents, we will not know. Have to tune in and wait to watch. And then on Wednesday, it is, of course, Wednesday's Our Way. Tasha Gale, Alicia Newton and myself back at 5 p.m. We will preview and talk about all the big talking points. There's actually a big talking point. It's hair pulling. That's what we're going to talk about this week because there has been another incidence of it and I don't like it, but I'm not playing. So I'm going to put it out to the players and see whether they like it. What do you think on it, Jets?
I'm tipping they don't like it.
I wouldn't like it.
No, it's terrible. All right, now, thank you for tuning in. You can move over to Fox League to watch their special coverage, or you can stay tuned to NRL.com for all of our live updates on the awards. Enjoy yourselves tonight, and we will leave you with the Telstra top three speeds of the season. And it's probably no surprise who tops this list. Josh Adokar.
And McCulloch throws an intercept. Here goes Xavier Coates with the long strides. Ponga's coming. He won't get there in time. And Xavier Coates will race the length of the field. Latrell Mitchell. Oh, lovely pass. Johnston for the corner. He will get there. Latrell Mitchell says to AJ, you're going all the way. As Kim Smith kicks on play one, and Carla Fox is running. How is the Fox? How good is it when the Fox gets in open space?